Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah. That plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Do you know that I now have f***ed up thoughts about Brock and Lala, one of my best friends, because I'm like, oh my god, can someone do that to me?
Why is
because
that
they
like,
did it to her.
Why is
I
that my
that
fault?
Sh-
it's true. I think that's
sh-
that. I think that's
you did that. I would now like to go home and put my kid down.
Dude, you've been the other woman in a f***ing relationship.
Hell, you hell Tom. No. You.
You have
when
though.
I was 21 years old in 2006.
Is you
you
still do it.
Who
cares?
This is where I go insane.
You, Tom.
To another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry, Vanderpump Rules, and I cannot believe that I'm saying this. I am chomping at the bit to talk about the latest episode of The Valley. So let's get into Vanderpump. Y'all, I'm so upset. I was sure, I was positive that this show was gonna be such a waste of time, the way they pitched it to us. So I feel like this is not like an L on my part, honestly, because the way that they pitched the show was not anything like what we're getting. And so I was just working with the information. We all were working with the information that we got. And damn, we were sold a false bill of goods, but I'm happy about it. You know what I mean? All right, let's talk about Vanderpump. So, Allie and James are having a little bit of issues, right? She couldn't sleep last night. Mr. Banks is trying to get into the room. Hippie's sleeping with them. They're in separate bedrooms, right? It's just like, she's not loving it. Jax comes over, sweaty and tan as he ever is, just stretched, taut skin. And like, hey guys, this is like Palm Springs, like, except for the planes going up above. And Allie's like, yeah, I'm used to it, but James isn't. So they're going to be hosting a brunch together, James and Jax. Obviously, we know that James and Jax have a sordid history, like Cosmopolitan, Pump Teeny, you know, the whole thing, right? Jaxy boy, and I've come along the way. Like, I'm pretty sure we worked it so together we hated each other, you know? He says that when Jax asked to do this brunch, James was like, okay, maybe let's do baby steps. And obviously Jax is like the old dad trying to get back in the ring, right? So Jax asks James who's going to be who all there, right? even my best friend Katie, is she going to be there? So James is like, what's going on with you and Katie? And Jack says, well, apparently. And then James just blew Allie's whole shit up, right? Because she's trying to get the tea. And James turns to her and goes, don't you have a reading to do? And she's like, yeah. But, like, make sure you tell me what he said afterwards, right? So Jax tells James that Katie's been pushing this rumor that he's been cheating on Brittany. And he's like, you know, do you think she's just jealous because she can't fuck any of her ex-husband's friends anymore? Because she can't fuck me? Or what? Jax, no. James says it in confessional. I hope he's not cheating on Brittany, but let's face it, he's got a checkered past. So if both of them are telling me something, I gotta go with Katie, because just based on history and trust. So then Jax and James start playing basketball, the two least likely people you would think. And Jax is like, I don't know what to expect with Lisa. And James tells him, I think true trust is broken with you guys. And Jax is like, well, I'm not just gonna bow down to her because she owns a couple restaurants in West Hollywood. I mean, come on. The way the, like, restaurant ownership is such a trigger for Jax, what's going on there? Like, it irks him so badly. It's always something he throws out with the Toms or Lisa. Like, oh, you think you guys think you're so big or bad because you got, like, a liquor license on Sunset? Like, what's going on? Why is this so deep for you? And I also love that he is like, I will never go into the restaurant business. It's such a waste of money. I would never, ever, ever possibly do that, except for unless you want to meet me at Jax's Studio City, where I, you know, sit during every week of Vanderpump Rules on a microphone and talk about how fake everybody is. James tells Jax to, you know, attempt to be the bigger person and, you know, more flying. Overhead, there's yet another Southwest flight going into Burbank Airport, and Jax actually has a good idea. He's like, you should use that as, like, a drop for your DJing, right? Like, honestly, he kind of should. So over in Marina Del Rey, Brittany's coming over to visit Sheena. Sheena's like, you know, of course, me and Brittany are best friends. I've known Brittany one day less than Jax. We've been close ever since. Our two kids are 2 weeks apart. You know, she's one of the people who would really get my life. And by that, she means we can both talk about how our husbands are shitty, right? And how they have to deal with them. So Brittany asks them, like, are y'all going to try for another kid? And Sheena's like, oh, no, I don't want to risk dying. But then she's like, I feel like once Ocean and Cruz start having siblings, she's going to start asking for one. And it's like, well, I mean, she does have siblings. So anyway, then Sheena tells Brittany that she and Brock have been at each other's throats lately, and they were supposed to have some anniversary party, some big performative thing, right? Clearly, whatever sponsorship deals, brand deals that they were going to get for this anniversary party fell through, so they weren't going to have it. And Brock just suggested, why don't we go to dinner? And Sheena was like, you know, I guess she thought if we weren't going to have the party, we weren't going to do anything. And so Brock was like, is dinner not enough for you? So Sheena tells Brittany, I think maybe the issue with Brock is that he's not the breadwinner and he feels some type of way about that. And Brittany's like, yeah, that's what happened with me and Jax. And, you know, I could feel a shift when I started being the breadwinner. And, you know, they're just such manly men, and that's an issue for them. Manly men. That's the word for it, for sure. That is a Sherryism if I ever heard one. So Sheena says in a confessional, like, she's Norma fucking Ray, okay? It is misogynistic, this old appeal, how a man has to be the provider, but it should just be up to how things work for you. It really should. Do you guys think that Sheena truly doesn't care about him being the breadwinner? Because I kind of think that she doesn't. I kind of think that she doesn't. I don't know. Part of me wanted to make something deeper out of this with Sheena. But I just think as long as it looks good on the outside, she doesn't care how we get to four. As long, you know, if it's 1 and 3, if it's 2.5 and 2.5, if it's 4 and 0, like, as long as we get there, it's good. So then Sheena gets upset and she starts crying about how her OCD is really kicking in and she took Zoloft for a month and was feeling better, but then it made her so tired. And I really, like, I don't mean any shade by this, but I've never taken any sort of anti-anxiety medicine, but what my understanding is that it like takes a while to get into your system, to let things like kind of work itself out. So a month to me sounds like a little abrupt to take, to just like decide not to continue something, but whatever, you know, like, is that wrong? Just let me know. And also, like, I don't mean any judgment by it. If she's feeling bad, like, I can't be this tired because I got a kid, then do what you got to do. I'm just wondering, like, is that how it works, or is Zoloft more of, like, an instantaneous thing? Just a question. So then Brittany's like, well, has your anxiety gotten worse since having Summer? She's like, yeah, I've had this postpartum OCD. I've got these intrusive thoughts because people will make these comments about Lala brightening up whenever Brock walks into a room. Who was saying that? Who showed Sheena the screenshots of Reddit? Who was the person on Reddit who said that, that made Sheena spiral? I'm calling you up to the carpet. Who was thinking that? I can think a lot of things about Lala, but her bright, like, smiling because Brock is like the Mary Tyler Moore of her life, I don't know about that. Quiet as kept, I would see Lala being attracted to Schwartz or Sandoval and them actually attempting to make that work before she went to Brock, but that's just me. That's just my opinion. Anyway, so Sheena's like, you know, I'm having all these thoughts. I'm thinking like, oh, what if we get a nanny and he leaves me for the nanny? And it's like, well, neither, then both of you guys would be, both of them would be unemployed, so.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You probably wouldn't have to worry about that. There's a lot at stake for both of them in that case. You know what I mean? If we're being honest. So Brittany's like, you know, I get what you mean. You know, like, you'll get through this. You'll figure something out. Meanwhile, why the hell are we giving Brock his own solo scenes? I was more jarred by that than seeing Anne in a confessional during the extended episode a couple weeks ago. I'm like, who is this dude who looks like Diplo and Donnie Wahlberg at the same time? But he's telling him like, oh, he might, like, I need to do breath work. You know, I'm dealing with Sheena or being the breadwinner. Like, you know, and he said something that I did find slightly interesting. He was a little bit poetic about this, but I was picking up what he was putting down. He was saying, I grew up thinking I was just going to be a farmer, right? And then I got into rugby, and then, like, from there, my whole world expanded, and, you know, like, we're not in Queensland anymore, baby. And I can imagine, and he is probably scrambling in a way, thinking, I was living way the fuck over here in Australia, right? Like, skips away. You know, how many kangaroos is that? He is thinking, my life is going to be this, like, simple life on the farm, sheep shearing and all this shit, and then I'm hopping over to, you know, hop on the plane to LAX and the dream of my car again. I meet Sheena Shea, the girl from the Jonas Brothers Pizza Girl video, and suddenly we're YouTubers and I'm on this Bravo show, and now I'm like, oh, one, my life is like way bigger than I thought it could be, and like, two, it's gonna cost a lot of money for me to maintain this. Like, we can all paint Brittany as this, like, rat-eyed and bushy-tailed girl from Kentucky, but, like, let's be real. The hot Hooters waitress seeing some idiot on Vanderpump Rules on TV and being like, oh, at a Vegas club party and meeting him is way more likely when you put it up against what Brock's life was like. You know what I mean? So, I don't really give him a lot of grace, but I do understand what he's saying. Like, I wasn't thinking that my life was going to be anything like this. And now I've got to, like, really figure it out, right? Next scene, Katie and Tom go to Mel's Diner. I know that a lot of people have been saying that they're, like, super H-word for, you know, like, a post-divorce Katie and Tom, that they've got all this fucking chemistry. And they do. But I don't know that I'm, like, fully bought in on this. I don't know if they're, like, end game, as people say. But I'm not a romantic, you know? So maybe this is just me. So they're at Mel's Diner getting a little Greek sandwich and a milkshake. And she says, I know that I wanted space from Tom, but I can't quite wrap my mind around him just not being in my life anymore. And it's like, well, he's not. There you are, filming with him. You guys are still employees, coworkers, right? So Tom's like, I'm in a good mood today. Like, can you see it on my face? And Katie says, well, I can see a lot of things happening in front of me, like your hair. So he says, do you like it? And she goes, why? Honestly, he says, honestly, I felt something deep within. Like, I'm getting a tattoo tomorrow. You can come if you want. And so Katie says, who did that to you? And he says, Joe and Lena. Like, I love it. Now, I love that she asked him, knowing damn well who did that to him. Damn well. And I know that I talked about all the hairstylists going on TikTok and being like, she is murdering his hair. But the going back, and there are so many stylists that are watching, like, having people do blind reacts. And it's very funny to me. Like, why are they digging their nails into into his scalp? Why would you? Nobody would ever do that. Wild. I really love that. But anyway, Katie asks Tom, like, this picture that you posted with Joe and Lena, was that, like, a hard launch of your relationship? And he said, no, like, it was just they wanted me to promote the salon. You, Katie commented on the salon Instagram, oh boy. And she says, yeah, I commented that and everybody got mad at me. Like, girl, you know why. I appreciate it. But you know what you did. We're in a post-spooky accusation, Katie. You know what you're doing at this point. So then he tries to elicit sympathy from Katie about how bad he feels when Joe was like, oh, are you embarrassed to be with me, to be seen with me? And I just didn't want to date her, you know? And she's like, well, that's on you for leading her on, right? Completely. So then Tom's like, well, what's going on with you? Are you having fun? You looking for a life partner? How'd your date go with Tori? I feel like Tori is going to be a Judy Winslow situation. Like, she went into Katie's mouth and we'll never see her again. We'll never see this one again. So they're sort of talking about, like, oh, he got a little cheeky peck from Tori. And she's like, oh, that's all you got? I got some tongue. Tom says, well, how about this? Why don't we both text her at the same time and see who responds first? So Schwartz says in a confessional, I think in some way, Katie dating somebody that I was interested in was her way of saying, I miss hanging out. And it's sort of our post-divorce love language. What's going on in your head, Schwartz? How did we arrive there? That's what I'd love to know. But don't answer that. So Tom checks his phone. He gets a response at 1:29. Katie gets a response at 1:31. And she goes, no. Your text was at the top of the list and she just went down from there. Okay. So then she tells Tom, you just wanted a hair glow up because I had one. And he goes, did you have one? I must have missed that. Sheena and Brock go to Barton G. And he tells her, we got a no phone rule for tonight, right? Sheena orders an espresso martini and popcorn shrimp. Wow. And Brock orders something called a gin and juice and a ribeye steak. I've never been to Barton G, but I've heard about this place. And I know that out of all of the places to go, this is not the one to tell somebody you can't take your phone out. Like, it's got to be the last place. I think it's the whole point is that you go to Barton G for content. Because Brock orders this gin and juice. It comes out with a big ass boombox. I'm assuming what's playing out of the boombox is gin and juice. But the dance that Sheena was doing, God, I wish they had cleared what the actual song was. Because the dance that Sheena was doing was like a polite Christian woman. You know, like a lady who does gospel, but still like knows how to bop. Like Mary. Sheena was doing the Mary bop. If you know, you know. So Sheena says, I plan on being married to Brock forever, even though we're in a tough spot. Like, listen, if shit hits the fan, we got that prenup, but I don't even know where it is because I'm not planning on using it. this may be the first episode where I've seen them show love for each other. Like, I can't remember a time where either of them have said what it is that they like about each other, what it is about their relationships they enjoy. What do you get from Brock? What do you get from Sheeta? What do you guys laugh? Do you guys watch movies together? Like, what's the connection? And personally, like, my theory is that they just, like, Brock is willing to be the husband that Sheena wants. She wants the Instagram boyfriend. She wants the guy who's gonna, like, do the dirty dancing lift in the air. Like, that's what she wants, and Brock's gonna do that for her. And I don't really, like, I just wonder, like, do you guys connect? What is Brock like other than rugby? Do you guys talk about, do you guys watch movies together? Like, what goes on, you know? So they have this conversation about their future and how they really haven't been making time for each other. And Brock's like, you know, I had a vision when I came out here and I could see myself. I took myself to the front steps of the NFL. And obviously, you know, that didn't work out. So he's like, I just want to take the pressure off of you so that you can enjoy yourself more. And Sheena says, but you do take the pressure off of me. Like, you're so available and present for our daughter when I do have to work. Like, put the ego and the manliness aside. Have you ever thought that this is your second chance to be the best dad? She's crying, and then he starts crying. Well, that is certainly a question to propose. I don't know. I don't know what to do with that. Brock says in a confessional, you know, if I could turn back and look back at my 19-year-old self and say, you're going to be a good dad. You're going to figure it out in a different situation. What? And then he said, now I just keep trying to build my relationship with my other kids so that hopefully one day they're going to be willing enough to bring me back into their life. So I just want to know what's going on, because the last real update we got from this whole situation was that Brock was behind on his child support, and that the mother was, like, blocking access to the children because of that. But are we up to date on our child support? Are we still behind? Like, what's going on? Are they just like, we're not fucking with you regardless? Thanks for the money, but no thanks. Like, what's going on? And then Sheena says something that I found interesting, which is that I just believe in you so much. So when you don't see that, I just wonder that our family might not be enough for you. And he's like, I don't ever want you to think that, Sheena. You know, more on that later, I guess. So Tom and Tom go to get Schwartz a tattoo. Ask me if I give a fuck, but whatever. This is a setup for the fact that they're all going to San Francisco. Kyle Chan's releasing a whiskey. Sheena's going to be performing Good as Gold, you know, the regular stuff. I do want to laugh real quick at Tom trying to convince Schwartz to move into the house. And as soon as he starts talking shit about, like, living with Ariana and how hard it was, his chair breaks, you know? Why he laid on the ground for several seconds after that is confusing to me, but he did deserve it. After that, Allie and James go to Face Gym. Whatever. James is like, I'm all natural, so to keep that jawline of mine tight, it's like really important. Then they get into it kind of because Allie's got this, her girlfriend's having a wedding coming up. She's going to be a bridesmaid. It's in Ohio. James doesn't want to go because his brother was supposed to dog sit for Hippie and he happened to go out of town at the same time. So James doesn't want to let anybody watch the dog. So he's like, I'm just going to stay at home, right? Allie's like, we're already at a place where we're sleeping in separate bedrooms to keep the cats away from Hippie. I don't want to make that a habit. Back in Valley Village, Ariana's got custody of the treadmill for this next few minutes. She's on FaceTime with Dan asking, like, are you going to come to San Francisco? Like, don't worry. You don't have to hang out with everybody. I just want somebody to, like, come home to at the end of the night, right? Craig, Sandoval's tether, comes in with some white overalls asking, like, oh, you know, how long are you going to be? 10 minutes, right? Dan says, have you gotten a response from the lawyers? And she says, no, but Craig asked for, you know, a little space in the backyard to speak to a realtor. So Dan says, okay, well, at least it's moving along. Like, I think it'll be really good for your sanity, because if you can't rest at home, how do you ever recover? And she's like, yeah, I'm getting kind of loopy, right? So then everybody goes to Sir. The Toms show up together, and Katie says, wow, you really do look like a Ken doll. How many terry cloth shirts do you own at this point? Tom's like, two. Meanwhile, Lisa's sitting with Guillermo. And she's like, why are we having a brunch with Jax Taylor? And Guillermo's like, well, the place is over capacity. And she's like, oh, I know, but Jax has been so disrespectful to me publicly. How did this slip through? So Guillermo says, I didn't know anything about this. Cut to a clip of Jax on a podcast saying that the whole point of Lisa being on the show was to just sit there next to Andy and be a prop. So James comes up to the table and Lisa's like, what is this? Like, she has no idea what's going on. Ma'am, this is your business. Why are you acting like James has the power to go behind your back and host a brunch with Jax Taylor without your knowledge? How is that possible, ma'am? And then I guess we're supposed to have some sort of empathy for Lisa because she says, you know, all the times that I've given Jax and many of the many shitty men in my life a chance. Like, but we're supposed to believe that him going on a podcast was a bridge too far. Okay. So Jax walks in. He's like, can I sit down? And Lisa's like, if you have to. And he's like, well, I do have to. Do you want me to stand up? And Lisa's like, can you chill? Like, what's going on here? I'm not a prop, right? And she said, what'd you say about me? That I'm superfluous? Is that what you said? And Jax says, superfluous? I don't even know what that means. And Lisa's like, oh, come on. You've heard the word superfluous. And Jax goes, everybody knows that my education doesn't go that high. Okay? So James is reading the definition off his phone. You know, it means, like, unnecessary, especially, like, through being more than enough. And Jax says, how do you spell it? Superb with, well, like, an F or a B? Oh, super, superfluous. So Lisa's like, you know what? I could have said that the only person who wasn't needed on the show was you. I could have done that. So Jax goes on about how, Lisa, you haven't checked in on me and Brittany in the past 10 years, have you? And Lisa's like, I wasn't going to say anything about all the shit that you were talking about me, but when you're putting your name on a flyer, I'm on my business, like, I'd be remiss to not say anything to you. Like, do you understand what I'm talking about? We gotta film a scene, sir. And Jax is like, yeah, okay, I agree. And then he's like, can I get a hug? Because, you know, I do love you. Like, whatever you think about me, I don't care. So after that, Jax goes over to where the girls are sitting. Everybody's being friendly, not Katie. So Katie says in a confessional, I'm not a fan of Jax Taylor. When somebody has to talk about how much they've changed or just trying to sell themselves to be something, the less of that they are. So Jax goes, hey, Ariana, I'm not a gossiper. And everybody's like, okay, shut up. You're like the biggest gossiper ever, Jax. So he goes, are you aware that Schwartz may be moving into your house? Are you okay with that? So Ariana says, what I want to know is, where's my money? Okay? And then Lala does, frankly, not to toot my own horn, but a significantly worse impression of Tom Sandoval than I do. And she's like, oh, hey, how about when we get Ariana out, like, you just take over. And so Ariana says in a confessional, I don't give a fuck. It could be the Mojo Dojo's Casa House until the dawn of next century. I just want out, right? So James invites everybody back to his place, like, for a little after party, pool party session. And he goes over to Sandoval and asks him, like, oh, do you want to come over? And then he says, look, with you, I don't want to wake up feeling angry. I don't think as, like, men, we should let it get to that, right? Let's just reserve all our anger for women. You know what I mean? So Tom says, well, you know, that's a good thing. I think that you can recognize that. And James says, well, you need to recognize it. And I hope it's not going to be like in 6 months, you're going to look back and be like, oh, fuck, I sounded like a fool. Like, you know, compared myself to a infamous murderer and a man who was killed wrongfully by the police. Like, you don't want to look back and have to say, God, what a dumb thing to say. You know what I mean? What a foolish thing to say. Oops. Anyway, so everybody goes to James' house. Jax is, he's excited to be there, right? He's on a loop. Hey, I just got a babysitter with my wife. My wife said it's okay. Like, let's go. Like, I'm looking to party. Like, babysitter. My wife said it's cool. You know, like, I'm looking to drink. Let's take shots, man. The babysitter. Cool, right? Like, chill. So the girls are in the front room, right? They're talking. Lala and Sheena are talking about which one of them is Sporty Spice. And Lala says, wait, I thought I was scary. And Sheena goes, well, I'm more platforms and you're more sneakers. And Lala says, well, then I'm definitely posh. And Katie says, no, I am. To which I say, all of you guys are wrong. And I'm not quite sure how it breaks down, but, like, obviously Allie's baby. That's clear. I don't know if any of you guys would qualify as posh, frankly. I think... Where would the girls be if I were to really put them into a baby, into Spice World? Like, we can't go physically because that just not, is not going to make sense. Like, we just have to go energetically, right? Which is why Allie has to be baby. I think if we're going to go, like, with Ariana, I would say she might be Ginger because obviously she's going to be the one who leaves everybody behind. Like, that's clear. I would say... Gosh, I would maybe put maybe Lala as sporty? No, maybe I would do Katie as sporty. I just don't think any of them have posh energy. Because, like, Sheena's also baby. You know what I mean? And, like, Lala is scary, but she's not Scary Spice. You know what I mean? Like, that's clear. I also just want to say real quick, there has been this clip going around, and I haven't really been super addressing Lala and her weeks-long campaign of shading Ariana and Katie and just, like, screaming into the void and having these mostly one-sided fights with them. Now to just a couple days ago be crying about how hard this is. Oh, and also she was like a full, here's exactly what happened. You guys know that clip of New York, Tiffany New York Pollard, after Flavor Flav dumps her for the second time. And she's walking to that car and is like, I don't give a fuck. You guys think I give a fuck? Because I don't. And then as soon as she gets into the back of that car, she starts crying. That's what Lala's doing right now. She's like acting like she's a Billy badass and like she's right. I'm on the right side of the history. You guys are all wrong. I'm going to be vindicated. You know, like I did such a badass thing at the reunion and I walked away feeling clean, blah, blah, blah. And then here she is on yet another Amazon Live. Oh, what are they even paying her to do other than answer questions? Is that all she's doing? Whatever. Because I know like Paige does like QVC style. She's shilling clothes and stuff. So I don't want to know. But apparently she was crying about how, you know, it's been so hard. And if she says, I texted my team to not tell me anything about the response of the viewers, I'm going to scream. I'm going to pull my hair out. And I have a real thing. And I try to, like, keep it cute. And, like, I'm very judicious with this because I don't want to come off the wrong way. But I see often when pregnant women fuck up, they're all of a sudden are like, but I'm pregnant and I want to be so soft and blah blah blah. And it's like, okay, but why were you also pregnant 2 weeks ago and that didn't matter at all, and you were saying you don't care what we all think, so why are you crying? I just don't have time for this. Like, stand on business, bitch. Like, if you want to have a soft life, then have a soft life. Nobody told you to go on every microphone in Southern California and every Zoom that you could hop on to talk shit about people. You chose to do that. This is not behavior that is happening on TV and you're like, oh my God, the backlash. Like, I can't take it. No, this is like something that you're actively doing in March and April of 2024. And now we have to be responsible. You were mad at us, man. You were mad at us. And now, because the tide is not turning in your favor, you want to be like, don't do this to me. I'm just trying to be pregnant and soft. Like, no. If you wanted that, you should have been that. Nobody was stopping you from doing that but you. And now we have to be responsible for your pregnancy. I'm not doing that. That was energy that you invited into your life. Oh, that felt good to let out. Anyway, Katie tells the girls how she met up with Allie, right? And Allie's upset about the dog situation. So James walks into the room and they're like, we're talking shit about you, right? And so they're explaining, you know, what Allie's upset about. And like, is there any way that you can get somebody to watch the dog? Somebody else. And James is like, well, maybe next year. Well, maybe Christmas. What do you guys want from me? And so Lala says, I think Ellie would probably want her partner to be there. And, you know, she follows you everywhere to all of your gigs and all that stuff, right? And James is like, well, I'm going to have an anxiety attack. I'm going to be thinking about it. It's going to be four days. And I'm going to be thinking about him when I'm in the shower. And I'm trying to take a shit in the morning. And I'm just going to be like, all I'm going to be fucking doing is worried about him. So Katie says, we all have animals. We understand. And Sheena is like, well, me and Lala, we got kids too. So James says, well, I've got a fur baby. And he starts crying. And he's like, if anybody's going to take that seriously, then it would think, but maybe you need to think about your actual babies and how many nannies you had to go through. So I don't want anybody to do fucking anything to that. I don't trust anybody. And I just got him back and I'm never going to let anything keep us apart again. So James says in a confessional, no one's ever going to understand how deep it goes with me and how souls are conjoined. So he tells them, like, it's going to be 4 days. It's going to be torture for me. Like, you guys don't understand. They're like, yeah, like, we don't understand. And Lala says, I don't understand dropping off my baby with a random woman. And then she says in a confessional, don't ever compare your dog to me finding childcare, you buffoon. And then she says, it's very clear to me that in the relationship with James, he comes first and Allie comes second. And you can never allow the man to ever come first. And, you know, there's a layer to that. This might be the one time that I'm actually like, okay, Lala, you actually putting your experience on this situation does make sense. Like, no, I mean, obviously hippie is not, we're not comparing hippie to like ocean and summer, but I get his anxiety. But maybe we need to talk to somebody at Vanderpump Dogs, you know, to have them watch hippie. Anyway, outside, Jax is still on a loop about, I'm a father, I got the day off, Brittany said, babysitter. And then he's looking to the sky like, where the fuck are we? Is this a fucking flight pattern? What's going on? So James asks Katie, have you spoken to Jax yet? And then Schwartz is there. So it's James, Katie, and Schwartz. And he says, Jax came over and he was talking shit about Katie. Did you hear about that? You must have. And the way that James, like, low-key made Schwartz tell the truth, because you could tell he wanted to sit there and be like, oh, I didn't know anything, like, and just let Katie flail. But he was like, oh, yeah, I mean, I guess he's not happy with you because, you know, you found a picture on Reddit. So Katie tells us that there were rumors about Jax and Brittany online for thousands of people to see. But the fact that she's the one who said something, Jax is, like, blaming her for something that a bunch of people saw. The man doesn't know how the internet works. So Katie's like, what are you on about, man? And Jax is like, well, what are you on about? Because I took a picture with a female. And so Katie says, the internet talks about you. The internet talks about you too. And she's like, great, I'm glad. And he's like, great, I'm glad too. So cool, awesome. So James says, but it's valid. Like, why are you getting so angry right now? And did you guys notice how chopping the editing ones? Because James asked Jax, why are you getting so angry right now? But when Jax responds, James is like talking to Allie 10 feet away. Like there's no possible way that his response is to what James just asked him, but whatever. Jax asks Katie, why don't you talk to Brittany anymore? Why don't you talk to her? And Katie says, cause I don't like you. And he says, well, I don't like you either. So Kate, you know what? This just made me think. I would love to see a conversation between, no, I wouldn't. My version of hell would be seeing a conversation between Jax and Larsa Pippen. Well, you don't do it either. No, well, you don't do it either. Well, you don't either. And how about you? Like, both of them are like, I'm rubber and you're glue. It would never work. It would be like watching the greatest tennis match, like Serena and Venus on the court, just like going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Like, just an even match of two odd people. Not Venus and Serena. I'm talking about Jax and Larsa. Katie says in a confessional, Jax has always been completely unhinged. And this is why I don't fuck with him. And I feel bad about Brittany, but like, your husband, he's a disgusting pig. So then Schwartz asks Ariana, can I just have 5 minutes to talk to you, right? And he says, I just want to address this because we're in a good place. And she's looking at him like, I don't think we are, but whatever. And he says, well, Sandoval and I were speaking in hypotheticals. And she's like, Jax already told me. And he's like, he promised he wouldn't say anything. Like, Schwartz, you should know by now. Trust no bitch. Trust no bitch. So Ariana says, so what? It would be you living in my house? And he's like, yeah, but I'm not going to do that. well, I can't afford it because, you know, after Tom refinances, it's like a huge loan, like 10%. And Ariana says, like, damn, that's like $20,000. She says, no, it's $22,000. So Ariana says in a confessional, this is probably hands down the most expensive bromance in history. So Short says, well, would you hate me if I did move in there? And when she says no, he's like, oh, wow, that's like the complete opposite reaction that I thought. Like, I thought you would strike me down with a great vengeance. Like, that's what you wanted. You want her to be a bitch. You want her to be the patron saint of scorned women, as you called her, so you can be the victim. And then you could be like, oh, you're not like, she's a nice person. You can't be that shocked, dick. So then she says, once I'm out of there, somebody's going to have to pay the mortgage. So whatever. Speaking of which, Sandoval walks in another Mrs. Roper outfit with Kyle Chan, and he's like saying hi to Hippie, and he goes down and whispers to Hippie, if I ever talk to your mom again, I'll tell her you said hi. Ew. Ew. So I will say, Brock is sitting in a donut in a pool, and this is maybe the most I've ever been attracted to him. Like, the thighs are out. I don't know. It was really doing something for me, but like, only physically. So Sheena and Brock are going back and forth because Sheena wants to put Summer down. And Brock's like, well, the nanny's capable of putting Summer down, Sheena. And she's like, I know, like, I want to be the one to put her down. I want to read her Halloween books. And so Ariana hears her getting upset. She's like, I just want to check in on her real quick, right? And then she turns the corner and sees that Sandoval is talking to Sheena and goes, oh, never mind. So Sheena starts talking about how she's going to be performing two songs with Kyle. And she's talking to Sandoval. She's like, have you heard my song yet? And he's like, yeah, it's like a bit a lot, you know, that's like not really the song necessarily. It's more like from you specifically, it's a lot. So Sheena says, you know, I can understand I was coming from that, but like what you did to Ariana was like, fuck me up more than ways in one, like the friendship, the restraining order. And yeah, I did decide to, if you want to call it that, like capitalize on it. So Tom says, you were like 100 times more reactive than Ariana was. And Sheena says, do you know why I was? Because all you had to do was close your mouth at the reunion. All you had to do was keep your mouth shut. Flashback to him saying, I heard Sheena say over the phone, I punched that bitch in the face. So Tom says, Sheena, I need you to understand that you're not involved in this. Like, you were getting cheated on. She did not fuck Brock. You know what I mean? So Sheena says, she filed a motherfucking restraining order. And Tom says, but why? Like, why are you the biggest victim in the whole scenario? Like, you keep on keeping on. He says in his white bell bottoms, you just keep on keeping on. So Brock comes over. He's gotten dried up. He's got a little shirt on. What's going on? So Tom's like, well, the point that I'm trying to say is, like, Sheena, like, what you have done is, like, it, like, if I step on Kyle's shoes, then he burns my house down. Always these absolutes with this man. Like, we can't just, it can't just be like for once, and this is how he gets away with things. Like, it's always like, we just had an affair. It's not like I had babies in front of her, you know? Not like I inseminated her in front of Ariana. Like, so Brock's like, well, time on out on this. Like, you wrote a song, like, you were singing about Schwartz's mom, fucking Raquel in the song, and Tom's like, it's not even remotely close. Like, you guys feel entitled to talk about events in my life than me. Like, you invested yourself, you put yourself into this. And Sheena's like, it's called friendship. So Katie, Ariana, and Lala are at the side of the house, and they're like, damn, there's been a lot of dudes yelling going on. I'm starting to get a little bit worried about Sheena. Meanwhile, Sheena's yelling like, do you know that I have thoughts that Brock and I are, and Lala is with Lala, one of my best friends? And I'm like, oh my God, can somebody do that to me? Because they did it to her. Somehow James has appeared. And as Sheena's talking about how, like, she's got all these racing thoughts in her head about cheating, he's, like, turned into Peanut Gallery, like, oh, you know, I think that shit, too. I think it, too. I do, too. So Sheena says, I would like to go home and put my kid down. And as soon as she walks away, Tom goes, dude, you've been the other woman in a fucking relationship. And then Sheena goes full Azusa, okay? Fuck you, I was 21 years old. I was 2006. Tom's like, you still did it. Lala, from the side of the house, says, see, this is where I go insane. And yet, interestingly enough, the girl who's like, I fight like a dog for all of my friends, did not even move one inch out of the chair that she's sitting in. Wonder who did. Blonde woman. Oh, I think her name's Ariana. I think Ariana was the one who got up to console Sheena. Sheena, the one who told Ariana weeks ago, tried to set up all these scenarios if at some point, sometime in the future, if Tom had redeemed himself and was the greatest little boy in the whole planet, would she be opposed to them being friends? And Ariana said to her, "You in danger, girl." Not because of the fact that I feel some type of way about him, but because of the real fact that he is an asshole who is eventually going to hurt you. And that's exactly what happened. And instead of being like, well, you are officially in danger, girl, she hugs her friend and is like, he's fucking trash, honey. I love you so much. Sheena's like, we're breaking the fourth wall because Sheena's taking her mic pack off. She's like leaving in the front driveway. Allie's like, I'm so sorry. It's a lot. And nevertheless, grace under fire. So now James and Brock are yelling at Tom, like, you're bringing up bullshit from the past. She's a grown woman now. And Tom's like, well, aren't you guys bringing up stuff from the past like 6 months ago? Aren't we trying to move on from that? Idiot. He's an idiot. Now, could we say that Sheena... That Tom was not wrong for saying that about Sheena? I don't know. Because I feel like we could all, like, y'all have technically been capitalizing off of Sheena's affair if we want to keep it a buck. Because how did we backdoor our way into the show? A conversation that Sheena's having, Brandy is confronting her, Sheena and her dead tooth, about fucking Eddie Cibrian. So, I don't know, like, this is a great show in the way that it's like, we're all Spider-Man memeing each other, just, we're all in the same costume pointing at each other. You know, two sides of the same coin. God bless. God bless. Okay, I gotta talk about the Valley. We gotta get into it.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Stop trying to be a manipulator.
My husband's saying what? Your husband said that he's going to divorce you within 2 months.
No, I did not ever say that. Never.
Oh, yeah, that's bullshit. That never was ever said. It's the other way around. It's Michelle is going to leave Jesse in 2 months.
Who said that my husband said that?
Yeah, who said that? You
f***ing lying. All right, y'all. Let's take a dip in the valley. Wow. I'm so mad that I love is not the word. Love will never be the word for me to describe this show, but like, I'm in it. I'm invested, you know, and I have a lot of feelings about that. So we got to get into it because, man, it was some mess on here today. So we start the episode with Kristen and Luke. They, you know, had their little romantical evening and are just talking, you know, all of that. Do we have morning sickness? No, couldn't possibly be. You've only nutted in me like 12 hours ago. So Kristen tells us, Luke and I did the thing. He gave me the thing and we want the thing. But now it's like, womp womp. So you guys got to interpret that on your own. Like, I don't have the time. Okay. Luke also talks to Kristen about going to premarital counseling, and he says that 302 was the one who actually suggested it. And he's like, you know, we need to figure things out because I need to have more of my life in LA. This apartment is 95% your stuff. She's like, what? You don't like my stuff? And then he's like, no, like, I just need to, he's like a Dixie chick. You know, he needs wide open spaces, room to make a big mistake. Apparently he's got a thing with bow and arrows. I don't know. But that's like, he wants the Colorado lifestyle. Kristen says, I don't want to live there full time. You know, he just cut electricity in this house. I can't Postmates a thing. It's not going to work. I have to tell tell you, I've never postmated anything in my life. Is that crazy? That's wild, right? Anyway, Jax films a scene with Jasmine. I gotta say, immediately uncomfortable because I'm not sure. In fact, I am sure. Jax should not be allowed around black women specifically without supervision. Like, I mean, including production. It just makes me uncomfortable. Like, we know what happened last time. You know, does anybody remember? You know, we won't go there. Anyway, so Jax, they're talking about, like, girls' night, right? And Jasmine tells him, you know, Rudy told us about your sex life and lack thereof, frankly. And Jax says, you know, before we had the baby, we used to fuck all the time and be like, hey, let's go in the bathroom, which I don't know if you guys heard. So last week, Jax went off with the Toms to London, I want to say, but he also went with his publicist. This got people noticing that Brittany unfollowed Jax and Lori K, the publicist, during this vacation. Jax started posting pictures without his wedding band on, and rumors started flying about Jax and Lori having this affair. And there was also this blind item of somebody who allegedly saw them at some bar who said that, like, they were all over each other and went into the bathroom to pound one out. So, uh-oh. Anyway, Jax says, lies, frankly, I don't believe this, that Brittany's love language is his head between her legs. And I just can't possibly fathom that Jax has ever been good at that or that he would be naturally talented. Not possible. Jasmine warns him, just don't let your relationship get as bad as Michelle and Jesse's. And he's like, that's never, ever going to happen. Oops. So then Jax reveals to Jasmine that after the guys went to the carnival, remember he went with 3 Under 2 and Jesse and the kids? Jesse was in the parking lot saying, oh, I don't think our relationship is going to last more than 2 months. So he also tells Jasmine that Kristen told him that Michelle's been texting other dudes, which is why she keeps been saying, oh, Michelle, I've been protecting you. I've always protected you. So then he says, after blabbing all of this, I'm just worried that Kristen's going to open her mouth. You know, she's really bad about that. Who else is bad about that, Jax? Speaking of, I don't know. Jax is partnering with this hair loss company, and he's going to be hosting a party. He invites 3 Under 2, who exposes, I don't know if you can call it that, but he says in a confessional that Jax has a bald spot in the back of his head, but we're going to have to put a pin in that for later. I'm going over to Michelle and Jesse. Skip on over to the Chateau Marmont. Michelle says that things have not been good with her and Jesse since last episode when he was like, do you still want to go to therapy? Because, like, we're spending a lot of time and money if you're not interested. Now they're just going through the motions, making sure that Isabella isn't more traumatized by all the fighting that she has already been. So, meanwhile, Jesse and Jason go over to help 3 Under 2 with their nursery. They're, like, building cribs or whatever. But it also seems like all Jesse wants to do is drink champagne and make that's what she said jokes, which, I mean, you should have expected that, right? But he does tell Jason and 3 Under 2 he got a hookup through his life coach with a healer, and he wants to do psychedelics to, like, you know, get out of his ego and, like, really, like, learn about himself. 3 Under 2 is like, sir, why don't we just try actual marriage counseling? Which, yeah, I'm with you, sir. Over in Valley Village, Jax and Brittany head over in that red golf cart to Jax's studio city, the bar. And he's so adamant that Tom Tom and Jordan Sandy's is in the back of his mind, and he just does not want to make the same mistakes as Schwartz and Sandoval. Because, as we know, the only thing that ruined Sandoval and Tom Schwartz's relationships were the fact that they went into business and got restaurants. That's the only thing. Anyway, while I hesitate to say that I feel bad for Brittany, I do. Like, it's just hard to see a woman be so desperate, especially when you're married to that man that you're being desperate towards. Like, she's finding out when she gets to the bar that even though Jax has told her, like, basically been holding off on getting her there, he's been telling us, I need her to be involved in this, otherwise we're gonna get a divorce. Brittany gets there and is like, oh, I thought Jax said that I couldn't come here till the very end. And, like, she's finding out that she could have been there much longer and much more involved than she has been. I'm a little confused because, again, not y'all aren't putting one red dime towards this. So how much input should you guys really be having? But I don't know. Whatever. Then they sit down for a little one-on-one scene together. She's like, Jazz, do you think that we're still going to try to have a baby next month? Are we still going to start trying? And like, we need to spend time together, Jax, and have a little bit of romance. You know, you just need to be nice to me. And it's just very sad. It's just very sad to watch, you know? So Schwartz shows up to this hair event, and it's at the Mondrian, which just feels like a sponge. Like a sponge that smells a little bit. I just feel like bad things happen there. Like, I don't know why we keep wiping it. It just feels very germy and, like, unholy. I don't know. Are good things happening at the Mondrian? Isn't that where Tom and Rachel started their great whirlwind love affair? Seems a little cursed and dark-sided to me, but whatever. So Schwartz shows up. He's still in his crisis blonde era. Wig, by the way, y'all have been asking me, who is Wig? Zach. I've been calling Zach Wig. I realize that I didn't keep you guys updated on that, but yeah, that's what I'll be calling him moving forward. So Wig has quite a bit to say in a confessional about, like, oh, his hair is giving burnt parrot. I'm like, okay, well, your hair is giving burnt helmet, so, you know, just feel a little bold of you. Anyway, we get special appearances from Brittany's mom, Sherry, Mama. You know, Jax goes up and gives a speech about how he and Brittany had done this photo shoot one day, and they were looking back at the pictures, and he noticed that he had a quarter size bald spot. So he runs into the garage and spray paints the back of that hair with some Rust-Oleum black. Everybody in a confessional exposed Jax. Jax is not losing his hair. He's telling very tall tales. Janet is saying, you know, if you have to say that you're balding to make a couple $1,000s, then go ahead. And then Jesse says, honestly, it's like more of a cowlick than anything. I think he could just brush it differently and he'd be fine. So after that, Janet tries to get messy, right? She confronts Jasmine because she knows Jasmine met up with Jax earlier. And she's like, oh, what happened with your lunch with Jax? But Jasmine's like, oh, well, I just think that there are some things that I should keep between me and Jax, which sounds like an insane thing for anybody to say. But it's actually crazy like a fox. She's smart because she knows that Jax has a tendency to gossip, and what he was trying to do with her was to make it seem like he was just giving information innocently, but what he was doing was like making sure that it is spread to the masses, and so he can keep his meaty, thick little fingers clean, right? And she also knows that Janet is messy and is trying to get shit out of her, so she's not doing this and keeping it real cute. Good on you, Jasmine. All Janet can manage to get out of her is, how bad do you think this information would be? Like, how mad do you think Michelle would be out of 10? And Jasmine says, I think a 10 out of 10. So Janet goes, oh, this is really bad. Can I ask Brittany? So there is, LA is so interesting. Jax and Jesse go to flirt with this lady named Gabby, who has a Burning Man themed pop-up store poolside at the Mondrian at night, which seems like horrible publicity, but whatever. She's wearing about 14 little strips of fabric, and she should. Like, the body was banging. I would have been wearing even less than her. Let's be real. Jesse tries to be, like, cute and footloose and fancy free or whatever. Steals some of the clothes from the pop-up, and he goes in the room, and we're, like, dancing with Mama, and Michelle yells, you can have him. You can have him. So after the event, there's this like private dinner, right? So it just, we're down to the brass tacks valley. Mama's gone, you know, excuse me, Sherry's gone. And Michelle is sitting next to Jesse, obviously. And she's whispering like, stop looking so serious. What's wrong? Jesse reveals in a confessional that before they left, he had this like couple hour session with his life coach and realized that his marriage is probably over. So somebody then asks Jax how the bar's going, and this monster completely throws Brittany under the bus by being like, we have to be open by football season. We have to. But, you know, it's just not the way Brittany wants it to look. And Brittany's like, it's actually not done at all. Bitch. Kristen goes full Kristen. This is like a different Kristen than we've seen from Vanderpump, but it's still like, I know what I'm looking at, and I'm eating it up, okay? So everybody's been asking Jesse what's wrong, like, including Michelle. Michelle has to know why Jesse's upset, and yet she still asks him and like provokes him, which is fucking psycho, but like, okay. So Jesse's like trying to keep it cool, but we know he hates Kristen. So as soon as Kristen's like, "Hi, smile, Jesse," he's like, "I'm not doing this." And, you know, we get another hand slap on the table. So Kristen's like, "I'm not doing this. He's a douche. Your own wife calls him you a douche." And then she turns to Luke and she goes, "Imagine if I called you a douchebag." And he goes, "You have." And Kristen goes, "No, I haven't. Are you joking right now? You know what? I'm the only sober one here, so I can't do this." Wig is sitting in the corner just yelling, "Kristen! Kristen! Kristen!" to try to get her to calm down. Eventually, Kristen calls Jesse abusive. She gets up. Jesse starts randomly talking about his balls being salty. Like, he's in a very weird mood, which is, you know, like, we're already grating on a curve with him to begin with. Like, it's weird for Jesse. Let's keep that in mind. So then we have a complete fourth wall break. Kristen, we hear her in the hallway talking to somebody in production. Like, Jesse beat his hand on the table again. Like, "I'm not dealing with this. This is turning into trash. He's a really horrific human. I don't want to out their whole fucking marriage, and I know everything about it. I just won't do it." We don't see Jesse go into the hallway, but he's there. Now he's talking to Kristen. It's like, "If you bring out any skeletons that I don't already know about my wife, I will fucking bury you." Like, he's so dark. He's weird. So Kristen's like, "I would never do that to your family or children. If I was, I would have done it already." So now it's just like a couple of people at the table. Luke's now getting up. He's in the hallway. Michelle now gets up. She's in the hallway defending her fuck-ass husband. And now it's like Luke and Kristen versus Michelle and Jesse. Luke pushes Jesse away, but I want to be clear that this is a, "You're getting a little too close to my girl. I'm going to like keep it cute" push to keep you separated. Not like an aggressive, "I'm like shoving you" thing. And Jesse snaps back at him like, "What are you going to do? What are you going to do, guy?" So Michelle's like getting up in Kristen's face like, "Get away from my husband. If you stop protecting me, Kristen, get away from my husband." Kristen says in a confessional, "I protect the people that are important to me, and Michelle's important to me." But then Michelle's saying in a confessional, "It sounds like she's threatening me and not protecting me." And then suddenly Kristen hits Michelle with, "You don't know what your husband's saying behind your back." And Michelle's like, "What's going on?" Also, half of one of her areolas is out, so they had to blur it. So it's just like even more chaotic now. So Kristen says that Jesse told everybody that the relationship was going to be over in 2 months. Now, at this point, Jax is peeping his head and his big ass jaw into the hallway. And then he hears that and is like, "I'm out." But he says in a confessional, that's actually not true. It was the opposite. It was Michelle that was going to leave, not Jesse saying, "I'm leaving." He was like, "I'm scared that Michelle doesn't want to be in this relationship." So now people are like in the hallway, Wig's there. They're trying to separate Jesse because he's like actually trying to go for Kristen. Like actually trying to go for her. Luke says, "Talk to your wife." And Jesse loses his shit. "What did you say to me?" Poor Wig. Poor Wig has got the top of Jesse's tiny sweaty hand to the bottom of his throat because that's as far as he could reach. Wig is significantly taller than him, let's be real. And now his body, he's getting checked against the wall. Because Jesse's like trying to go for Kristen. Brittany's losing her balance because he's like pushing Brittany trying to get to Kristen. And now it's like total hell. It's like a whole whirlwind of violence and confusion and Wig, and Kristen somehow managed to like slowly walk away from all of this. She's walking towards the elevator like, "I'm not doing this." I think people are so kerfuffled in the hallway. I don't even know if they realize that Kristen's gone. They're just tussling. It was wild. Michelle is now yelling at everybody, "Go in the room. Everybody go back in the room. I got something to say." But now Luke is popping off to Kristen. He's managed to get to Kristen. Jesse's a narcissistic asshole. Clearly, neither of them are all in on their relationship. And now they're somehow got this like Wonder Twins allyship with each other. So then Kristen says, "Yeah, it's because she's had a fucking boyfriend for a year." And we said it. And now she's protecting him, not me. So Kristen says in a confessional that a year ago, Michelle and Jesse were really not in a good place. Michelle had this guy that she was seeing. They were hanging out, whatever. And frankly, Kristen's like, I wasn't against any of it because Jesse's a piece of shit. Oh my God. So Kristen Marie Doty, who is now on her second, at least, reality show, has the nerve to say to the cameras with the mic pack on, I didn't sign up for any of this all over again. I'd rather be on Vanderpump Rules. This show, what are we doing? Oh my God. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. I'll be back tomorrow with Summer House. Love you. Bye.